Hallelujah. And so at such prophetic times, we gather momentum in the spirit. And I know that this is a praying church. Hallelujah. And we have been praying all through the week. And I trust that God will bless our hearts in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'll read it one more time. Wherefore, that means on account of the fact that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, every athlete that is serious about obtaining a medal knows that carrying any kind of weight at the beginning of the journey is only a preparation to fail. Hallelujah. Athletes are always known for dressing as light as possible. Hallelujah. Because the nature of the journey is such that once you begin to move, you are not given an opportunity to go back and correct yourself again. Hallelujah. And so it is always required that the athlete takes his time and prepares. Hallelujah. And they throw away all the suits that they bring, and they are trying to be as light as possible because there is a race that is set before them. Hallelujah. And here Paul is using this analogy, and he's saying, seeing then that there is a cloud of witnesses, those that have gone to be with the Lord, who are watching and sharing us in glory. And he said, on account of the fact that the Christian journey is a race, he said, there are certain preparations that we need to do. The theme for this meeting is power to run. And tonight we are going to be trusting God to shed away all the weights that have the capacity to impede our journey. Hallelujah. Tonight, if you are honest and your heart is open, God will touch you with his word. Hallelujah. I vowed before God and said, I will never lie to any congregation. I will bring the word of the Lord the way it is. Hallelujah. For change, for rebuke, for comfort, for instruction in righteousness. That's what the Bible says that the word of God is meant for. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let us lay aside. He calls two things. Number one, weights. What is a weight? He says, every weight. A weight is not necessarily a sin, but is whatever has the capacity to be a hindrance in the journey. And tonight we are going to examine some weights. Seeing then that there is a race that is set before us, CGC, we will need to set and prune out weights. I tell you something, one of the tragedy with the body of Christ and one of the tools that Satan is using to destroy the church is that he's bringing weights upon us. All kinds, all varieties and all manner of weights. Hallelujah. So that you find out that a believer who is supposed to have covered grounds in the spirit cannot move because there are weights. You know what a weight does? A weight does not stop you from moving. It only makes you so slow that your progress is of non-effect. Hallelujah. I always like teaching with illustration. Can I use someone? Come. Two people. Hallelujah. Don't tear his shirt. Hallelujah. You now stand before me. You are an athlete. Alright? Just hold him at the tip of his shirt. Alright? Try to run. This is a weight. He may be moving, but it's impeding him. And so the distance he should have covered by March or April, it looks like he just started his new year and you are in November. But God spoke. Did he lie? No. He gave you power to run. But there are certain weights. And tonight we trust God to cut them off, so that we can run into the prophetic blessing and the destiny. And I like it that this month is a month of obedience. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says they did not enter the land through unbelief. He said they had the word like we did, but the word did not profit them, not be mixed with faith. Hallelujah. They limited God in the wilderness. Oftentimes believers say, why will God give a prophetic word that there will be change? Give a prophetic word, but you will not see it. Paul was speaking to his son Timothy and he said, war a good warfare with the prophecy that has been spoken. Let me tell you something about prophecy. That a word has been spoken does not mean it will happen automatically. This is what believers do not understand in the church. When someone prophesies, it does not mean it will happen automatically. There is a role. I've said it, any Christianity that makes God totally responsible for our victories and irresponsible Christianity. At every time, there is a requirement. If thou be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1 and 2 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do and to obey his commands, which I command thee this day, that you shall be exalted. These blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. There is a condition. It shall come to pass if you will diligently hearken. So it's not just about receive. I've told believers, if receive was going to bring result, some people would have gotten every breakthrough they need in this life. But there is a responsibility. Seeing them, that there is a race before us. That 2013 for this church, that God is bringing a change, bringing transformation, that he's taking men into the prophetic destiny. But CGC, it will not just happen because it has been spoken. This is the year when we shed off some weights and say, Satan, you are a liar. You stopped me from entering some blessings in 2010. I didn't realize it's this much of deceit, but this year, thank God this is happening in January. Are we ready that God will examine us tonight? You see, when you want God to change you, the Bible says there is an attitude that causes a man to receive the word. It says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Hallelujah. And we trust the Lord to examine our lives. Oftentimes people talk about anointing. Oh, anointing to receive. There is the anointing does not make things happen automatically. There are certain things that permit Satan, and he has legal grounds over a man's destiny, so that the man cannot move and God cannot do anything about it. He stood in the book of Job. The Bible says when the sons of men came, Satan was in their midst. Came to make accusation according to the book of Revelation. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. And a question was asked. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan began to speak and say, Lord, I have. In my voyage round the world, I encountered this strange man called Job. And I saw that you built a hedge around him. And Job was living on the earth as if I did not exist. There is a way a man can align with God that you can live as if Satan does not exist. Hallelujah. For the Bible says, if any man is tempted, let him not say God has tempted him, but any man according to his loss. What is your loss? That area of weakness, that weight that Satan will be able to hinge upon and step into your destiny. Lord, help us tonight in the name of Jesus. Can we examine some of these weights? Tonight we'll be examining the weights and then we'll round up tomorrow. Colossians 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave me a prophecy for this church, and by the grace of God, after the word, as he grants grace, we will declare it. In Jesus' name. Colossians 3. It is possible, please look up in 1 minute. It is possible for a man to walk in the blessings of the Lord. It is possible for a man to step into breakthrough. It's possible for the family to experience the manifestation of the prophecies of God. But why is it that? Do you realize that in the body there's so much proclamation, but there is little performance? This is why many people are tired. They won't say it, but they are tired. If it's truly happening, people would have been encouraged. But we need to examine what is happening. Because in many meetings, 31st December, January 1st, 2nd, and so on and so forth, there are all kinds of declarations across the churches in Nigeria. But by October, November, everybody just says, God, you are faithful, just for the formality of it. But if they were asked to tell the truth, they'll say, God, you didn't try for me this year. Hallelujah. And this thing must stop, because the Bible says by these two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. That means there is a problem somewhere, and it's not God. Hallelujah. It's not God. Because in the same place where God is blessing another man is still there asking and say, God, when will you bless me? And God is no respecter of persons, but is a respecter of his word. The Bible says, God had respect unto the sacrifice of Abel. Hallelujah. And so I'm trusting God that this prayer retreat will not just be the regular formality, but that it will open our eyes to the things that can stop us from entering the prophetic blessings of God. Every time I pray for families, I say, Lord, will you cause a family to smile? Genuinely, not a pretentious smile. That they will come and give a testimony. The Bible says, and Abraham was old and stricken in age, and God had blessed him in everything. Abraham was old, stricken in age, and he had seen the performance of every word that God spoke. Hallelujah. God can bless a man. I'm telling you, it's not just some prophecy hanging. God can bless a man. God can change the story of a family. It has happened in the Bible. When overnight, the Bible says, and when the Lord shall turn again the captivity of Zion. He said, we were like them that dream. And even the hidden testified. They said, the Lord has done great things for us. He said, turn again our captivity, O God, like the rivers of the Negev. And this is the seed we are sowing in tears, that we may reap in joy. Hallelujah. And so as we examine the word, God is going to be pointing some things. This night is not the night to look at somebody and say, thank God he's hearing. No. Everybody is going to, the Bible says, to your tent, O ye Israel. There are certain times in the nation of Israel when a fast is declared, every family will go back and re-examine themselves. That was not the time to say, this family, what did you cause for us? No. Every family. So tonight is a retreat, you and your family. He said, as for me and my house, not my neighbor's house. Leave your neighbor first. As for me and my house. Hallelujah. As for me and my house. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. He said what? Set your affection on things above and not the things in the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. Verse 5. These are the weights. Mortify therefore your members. In other words, deaden, declare them inactive to these things which are upon the earth. One, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience. Hallelujah. Verse 8, this is where the examination starts. I'd like all of us to read it, verse 8. One, to read. But now ye also put off all these. Number one, stop. Wait, number one, anger. The Bible says the reason why Moses, do you know, please follow me, when God called Moses out, God never told Moses he was going to die on the way. The prophetic destiny of Moses was that he was going to lead the nation of Israel from Egypt, the land of captivity, into Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. Did God say it? Did Moses get there? So it is possible for the character of a man to change the prophecy of God over his life. Hallelujah. God called Moses, but Moses could not enter. You know why? It was anger that stopped Moses from entering. And the Bible says there is a journey, there is a prophetic destiny in Christ. But that certain manipulations of evil spirits can come upon a man and rob him of a prophetic destiny. Hallelujah. Anger has killed and cheated many people and many families. Hallelujah. When a man gets angry and carries whatever is close to him and uses it on another person, and then you find out that the medical bills of that person is 100,000, you are certainly not going to have a happy 2013. Correct? 2 minutes of self-control would have avoided a tragic loss. Please, are you following me? A little setup in the office that was meant to test you for promotion, you react to it in a way that will keep you in that position for the next 5 years. Anger has cheated a lot of people. Hallelujah. Are we getting blessed tonight? I'm giving us practical reasons so that when we rise up to pray, we will pray. When I was preparing for this message, I said, Lord, you have to help me first, though, so that having preached, I myself will not be a castaway. Anger. Do you know that anger is an influence of demon spirits upon a man? I know that now we have a church where most people teach that once you are born again, just go, everything is okay. Let me tell you straight, those godless messages on TV will not lead the church to strength. Hallelujah. You can't say you just came out and I'm born again. Oh God, I give you my heart. That's all. No, sir. That's where the journey starts. It cannot end here. 1 Peter 1 verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. That means that there is still a part of the journey. Hallelujah. That's when the Holy Ghost begins to work on a man. So a man was a drunkard for 12 years. Then he came and made an altar call once, and we believe everything is over. And then there is a loophole that Satan, see, the Bible says when a demon spirit leaves a man, says he goes through arid regions looking for where to camp, and not finding any, the demon will speak. So demons can speak. He will tell itself, let me go back to, he didn't say a man, he said my house. That means the demon is still claiming ownership. Correct? Let me still go back to my house. And he will come and find the house swept, clean, but empty. And he said, that's right. He will go and gather 7 other demons, making him 8. A new beginning. And the Bible says the current state of that man is worse. Have you not seen certain families? You see a man nice and gentle today, later on is worse than the way he was before the prayer. Because when a lot of people just come and God helps them, they do not fortify themselves with the word. Anger. Hallelujah. Anger is a terrible thing. It was on the news sometime, was it last year or year before last, when there was fight in our House of Assembly. Did you watch it? We queued in the sun to vote these people, and they were fighting. They were not fighting for your sake. They were fighting for their pockets. They don't love you that much to wound themselves. They were fighting to promote the interests of their pocket. That's anger on display. That's the character of a nation displayed in the whole world. I was reading in the newspaper today, and there was a fight between the governor of River State and someone else over the road, and see how they were exchanging words, very vulgar words. These are the people that are supposed to represent the image of Nigeria. Anger. Being born again does not take away anger automatically. You must first admit that there is a problem there and say, Lord, help me. For any man that covers his sins cannot be redeemed. Hallelujah. God is re-examining us tonight. Anger. Anger has robbed people of entering their prophetic destiny. Moses speak to the rock, and he turned, and 2.something million people were shouting and ranting at him, and he said, Lord, to hell with you, and he took anger led him to abort his prophetic destiny, and he never entered. God said, at best, I will take you upon a mountain so that you will see it. It's painful to see your blessing and not enter it. It's better not to see it, but that you see it, you are this close. And then you, Satan will bring you into a tragedy that you cannot enter. Are we blessed tonight? Number two, wrath. This is an advanced level of anger, a reactive one. That's the type you kill somebody later and say, am I the one? There are some people that when they get into that attitude of wrath and rage, you have to lock them and leave them alone. Number three, are we ready? Please read it by yourself. One to read. Malice. Who has another translation? What is written there? Sorry? God bless you, my brother. Hateful feelings. That's a clear English for everybody to understand. Hateful what? It didn't say hateful expression. Hateful, you have not expressed it yet. Hallelujah. So you can laugh with someone, but if there was a way, there was a way. Ah, I hope you like me this. I've come again, Abi. This is 2013. Hateful feelings. Night is the night where we'll be honest with ourselves, because after this, we are going to pray. We are really going to pray. Hateful feelings. Who would have known that the body of Christ will have to be taught this dimension? Hateful feelings towards one another. You see people laugh in the body of Christ. Oh, bless you, brother. Oh, bless you, sister. As soon as they turn in their mind, they say, die for God's sake. Hateful feelings. The proof that you love your brother is that you can defend him when he's not there. Hallelujah. Can your sister trust you when she's not there to defend her interest? Can your brother trust you? Is it not the same believers that sign letters not for others not to be promoted? Please help me. Is it not believers that carry someone's file and sit on it and smile at us? But look, you can see what the people hate. Full feeling. And sometimes the sad thing about it is you don't need to offend anybody. This is what makes it painful. You don't have to offend people. The sad tragedy about the nature of man. That's why God examined the heart of man and said, this is my conclusion. It is desperately wicked. Don't try to do a new research. God has done it. He's telling you, this is the end of my finding. Without the Holy Spirit, including my heart, every man is desperately wicked. That means these tendencies are enshrined in our heart. It may not manifest. It's not because it's not there. Opportunity has not been given. Hallelujah. Who would have known that David can kill a man and take his wife? The same David that refused to kill Saul. He had opportunity two times. He said, I will not do this against God's anointed. But that tendency was enshrined in him. He had not tasted of what royalty looks like. When he became king, he meandered across his balcony and saw a man's wife. There are certain tendencies. You see, this is why every time you are praying and God talks to you, don't argue. If you are praying, young or old, God tells you, you have lust in you. Don't say me. The way I love God like this, lie down quickly and start crying. Because this is God's examination. It will take some lifting. There were some men that did not know the power of money until they gave them one appointment. And they say, you mean there can be this level of life? Hallelujah. There are men who have never seen some opportunity till they took them to a 5-star hotel. And you see, 5-star service, who knows whether you're a pastor or not. Part of it is there is a lady, if you are tired and you come, part of the service, executive service. The hotel people are doing their work. And then the man sits down and a lady comes to say, sorry, you need any help? Help! And the man says, you mean life can be this easy? Suddenly, you will now see that there are certain encodings that are enshrined. Are you getting blessed tonight? And so God looks at a man and examines the man and says, you need to do certain things. I will show you a scripture. Hallelujah. I will show you a scripture that will help us. I really want God to help us. You see, this heart condition, if God does not examine your heart, if God does not purge your heart, God does not bring you to a point where your heart is so purged that you love the Lord with all your heart and you are willing to serve Him. There is a story. Quickly get it. A king called Ben-Hadad. That should be Bible students. Kings. Second Kings 8. I want you to read an interesting story. Second Kings 8, 7 to 15. Let me give you a quick background. This was Ben-Hadad. He was the king at that time. Hallelujah. An encounter between Ben-Hadad and his boy, what you want to call his PA, called Hazael, and the prophet Elisha. We'll begin our reading from verse 7. And Elisha came to Damascus. Are you there? And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad the king of Syria was sick, and it was told him, saying, the man of God is come here. Okay, so this is what happened. Ben-Hadad was sick, and it was the culture of kings to inquire from prophets to know what will happen to them. Hallelujah. And Ben-Hadad sent Hazael and said, go and ask the prophet, will I live or will I die? Praise God. So let's jump to verse 10. And Elisha said unto him, go and say unto him, that's the king, thou mayest certainly recover. How be it? The Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die. Hallelujah. So Elisha had answered him, correct? This is where the drama starts. Verse 11. And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. Please look up. Hazael, the messenger of the king, an ordinary man, is that true? He just came and he delivered a message, and the prophet said, go and tell the king he will live, but the truth is he's going to die. Suddenly the prophet turns and starts to cry, and Hazael is asking him, my lord, why are you crying? Let's find out why the prophet was crying. There is a powerful message that we must get. 12. And Hazael said, why weepeth my lord? What was the answer? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Hold on. This was an innocent messenger who just came. And the prophet said, I've seen the future of how wicked you will be. You look kind now because there is a level of honor that has not come. Are you following my story? Let's read on. Their strongholds will thou set on fire, and their young men will thou slay with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip up their women with child. This was the innocent man that the prophet was talking about. 13. And Hazael said, but what is thy servant a dog that he should do these great things? And Elisha answered, what did he say? The Lord has shown me that thou shalt be king over Syria. Please look up. This was a messenger. Hallelujah. Innocent. He did not know in him is that tendency to be wicked. Hallelujah. And now the king answered him. Elisha answers him, and he's about to run and go back, and Elisha starts crying. He said, my lord, why are you crying? He said, I've cried because I'm seeing that you will be a wicked king, to the extent that you will slay young men and you bring pregnant women and cut their stomach open and bring the children. And Hazael said, this is too much lie. See, when God talks to you, just believe. Are you listening to me? Because according to scripture, there's no time. That was exactly what happened. He was a wicked king. So God can see somebody who is a nice man, and God can say, one day you can be the one who will advocate and stop believers from moving forward. You say, God, me? But I'm just leading Bible study. God is saying, just keep quiet. You do not know the future. When they are crying, lie down and cry. See, this is why some people are not able to step into some blessings. It's not Satan that is stopping them. Are you listening to me? For the sake, God does not want to lose them. So he would rather keep them at a certain level. A man gets a position and sits down, and suddenly you see that there are monies from some parastatals that are coming to your office that have no name and no bearing. It's not money that is tied to your name, it's tied to an office. It was happening before you came. You say, if you don't like it, leave it for the next person to come and job. And now you are seated there and your family needs help, and you know that this is not of God. At that point, what happens? You now begin tendencies in yourself. Who would have known that one day you'll be able to sign something and tell a lie and add 2 zeros to a project money, and we rush and give tithe with it? Because men of God have become gullible right now. Anybody just comes with whatever and we tell them it is well, even when God is not saying it, because they are feeding our stomachs and they are buying jeeps for us. Let's go back to Colossians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blasphemy. Any other translation? Who has any other translation, please? What does it mean to blaspheme? Filthy communication. I need to dwell a bit here. Filthy communication. Yes, sir. Filthy language. Unprofitable. Idle. Non-productive. Hallelujah. Did you know that the Bible says, by your words you are condemned, and by your words you are justified? Many people have brought themselves where they are because of their words. Hallelujah. Every time you look and you keep telling yourself, you keep confessing that thing and you wonder why you are always behind. See, you know, there is an attitude, and it's a false sense of humility we must kick out. Believers are afraid when they are blessed. You are only afraid if you went to the shrine. You buy a new car and people say, God has blessed you. And then you say, if you had a trampoline in the car, not. You see, believers do all kinds of things. You buy a new dress, you are afraid. Let me tell you something. Stop being afraid of the blessings of God. Because many of us, filthy communications. Your child was in school and they say, is it true? You say, Kai, this thing, Nima Bansani, but what is the meaning of that? He was the best. Say, I don't want to offend another person's child. Is it your fault? Hallelujah. They increase your salary. Did they increase it or not? Don't talk as if it. A lot of people are afraid. And you know why they are afraid? Because there are people who are always waiting to receive, like shark. Once you tell them God has blessed, they say, there are people, and this is the year when you will repent from being a nuisance to many families. There are many people who are a nuisance to families. Let God bless them small. All kinds of unwarranted visitations. Somebody sows a wicked seed and forces another family to reap it. Are you getting blessed tonight? Wait. Filthy communications. Filthy does not necessarily mean vulgar. Anything that is not in line with the word of God. If God says you are blessed and you say you are not blessed, that's a filthy communication. Hallelujah. You look at a lady and say, "Toh, alekau areo megani." That's a filthy communication. It's unprofitable. It's ungodly. The Bible says, "Let your words be seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearers." Hallelujah. And young people, we have a lot of work to do because we are the ones who are most vulnerable. Right now, there's BlackBerry. You can ping. There's To Go. There's what again? Name them. Twitter, Facebook, what else? All kinds of media things that culture the languages of people. And so, there is every new slang for every new season. Madness everywhere. You see people calling and incurring curses upon themselves. You don't know the origin of the words that many people use. And let me tell you something. The Bible says, do not say before an angel, "I made a mistake." Because as you declare, so it will happen. Hallelujah. Many people have brought crosses upon themselves. I will never speak anything that is not in line with God's word. Let me tell you something. This is the year that you will look beyond your present happenings. Begin to declare what God has said, not what you are going through. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Let the weak say, I am strong." When there was darkness, God did not say, "Hey, yeah, darkness." He said, "Light be." Hallelujah. Filthy communication. This is the year when you look at certain people and your children are not doing well in school, and you look at them and say, "I prophesy. If I gave birth to you, I prophesy. There is an anointing upon you. There is a mandate upon you. Rise up to that which is in your spirit." Filthy communication. Hallelujah. Bless you. The Lord increase you. He's well. You are lifted. People call them church words. Well, if it's producing results, is that not the most important thing? Do you know there are certain people that if you stay close to them for 10 minutes, your spiritual fire will die down as soon as you leave? You go to visit them, you go back crying and say, why did I visit? I wanted to cook. Or why did I not just concentrate and cook? In 5 minutes, they have given 10 insults to everybody and anything around them. You see, I'm like that. You must change. This is why we are praying. There's nothing like I inherited it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll never use a communication that is not consistent with God's word. Let me tell you a big secret. Anytime you are angry, keep quiet. Because you allow your flesh to go before your spirit, Cain will rise up and speak before Abel. And you will say things that later you ask yourself and say, "See how I've closed a door for myself because of filthy communications." You had a dream, and in the dream you saw your family laughing. That's the time to wake up and say, "In the name of Jesus, according to that which you have shown me." You know why God has stopped revealing things to people? They don't respect what they receive from him. There are many people here. I trust that God will revive dreams and visions in this ministry. There are many people. Some of you, everything that will happen, God will show you. But we don't have respect for it. Hallelujah. God is showing you and saying, "In the month of March, this church will receive a lifting." You get up and say, "Ah, well, at least I know that it's a dream." And you end. And when it doesn't happen, you say, "Thank God I didn't say it." Do you know that if you had it and spoken it into being, it would have come to pass? How many people have seen blessings in the realm of the spirit that never manifested in this realm? God is trying to see. Every time you see yourself having dreams, there are many of us, you can have the same dream exactly as it happened 3 times, 4 times. God is speaking. You are not doing anything. You saw people crying in the dream. You got up and you were laughing. When something happened, you say, "Ah, and I saw it." What did you do? Are we getting blessed tonight? Filthy communication. Your communication must be consistent with God's word. Listen, Satan has designed the system to force you to speak wrongly. Because you get up, you just get to office and somebody just annoys you. For no reason. You are, and it's that day you did your devotion. And he says, love God and be good to all men. And the first person you meet in your office, you gave him work 2 weeks ago, he comes and says, Oga, what did you even say I should do? You say, you mean you have not done it and I'm to submit it? You feel like slapping the person. But that's when the activity of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm telling you, if all we take the Holy Spirit to be is just tongues and falling down, we have missed out a great portion of our spiritual growth. Spiritual maturity is the capacity to absorb pain and stand and say, rather than acting, I let the Holy Ghost direct me. It doesn't mean you are not human. It just means the Holy Spirit is upon you. The people came and spoke nonsense and they wanted Jesus to see. Jesus just kept quiet and was writing. He gave the Holy Ghost time to reveal things to him. And he said, he who does not have sin should cast the first stone. And the Bible says they were convicted from the eldest to the youngest and they left. Did you know that sometimes being quiet is the greatest victory you can give over certain people? Yes. Being quiet. They say, this madam is talking about you. What do you have to say? You say, well, bless God. Let's pray. God is faithful. And the person lives with a disappointment that will warn them never to come back and tell you that thing again. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Lie not to one another. Hell! The church of the living God. Where are you? I just entered River State now and you are just behind the person. Hallelujah. Someone comes to marry your son or daughter and is already lying. I came back from London. Which London? The Bible says, lie not to one another. Maybe it's an armed robber in London or something there or whatever. I will talk. Lie not to one another. Hallelujah. Young people, lying to our parents. Hallelujah. All kinds of lies. One cultist, one bad boy coming wanting to wreck your life. Your parents, who was that gentleman? I said, hey, one of our fellowship brothers. Lie not to one another. Who is he? Hallelujah. In our lives and in our offices, lie not to one another. Did you know the Bible calls Satan the father of what? The father of. He said, ye are of your of Satan, your father. He's the father of liars. Let truth be that which is spoken. And do you know that many lies that we bring are unnecessary? Have you seen people sit down to gist? He would have kept quiet. He just started talking. Who asked you? Started talking. And the thing with lies, you don't need to rehearse it. Just keep bringing it. It keeps coming. 2 hours, you are saying things that are not true. And the people who are listening to you are just discerning. You don't even know where you contradicted yourself. They are still listening. Lie not to one another. There are people who, because of their lie, they have joined the heads of families and people who should not be at enmity. And many people think there are many families because of stories that were not verified. Lie not to one another. What of in church? A lot of people come and tell lies. A lot of people come and say a lot of things. The man went one bribe and got the contract money. Say, praise the Lord. When the prophet prophesied, doors open. Oga, lie not to us. What did you do? What is the other part of the story that you have not told us? Are you getting blessed tonight? Lie not to one another. A lady goes to sleep with a manager and gets a job and comes to say, hallelujah, God opened a door for me. I went and without interview, he gave me a job. What are you saying? Tell us what part of the story you have not told us yet. Lie not to one another. Lie not to one another. It's sad. Many families are in shipwreck. Many men live and travel for all kinds of wicked voyages and they say it's business trip. Oh, I need to be in a business trip. There's a serious assignment that was given. I won't come back after 1 month. Somebody just tell you, I saw this guy. Oh, I saw him around. Lie not to one another. You see, believers trivialize this. One of the greatest strategy of the church is we don't open up these things. Everybody covers everything in the name of Jesus. And love, am I the only one talking here? Please help me. We should quote everything. The grace of God is there. Hallelujah. We are rising and you are not entering the blessing. Lie not to one another. You cannot walk in darkness and claim to be in the light. It won't take long before it will show. I tell you the truth. That's why you see a man of God anointed on fire. After a few years, he just dies down. Something was happening that nobody knew. And you cannot walk in darkness for too long. Hallelujah. A preacher stands on pulpit. You are robbing members of their money. You are looting, sleeping with every kind of person everywhere. And you say, it doesn't matter. We are the righteousness of God. You see, the thing about God is merciful. The fact that a plate is broken does not mean it cannot carry food on it. But it's a cause for you to go back. Are you listening to me? The glory of God will not leave you one day. So a lot of people do a lot of things and still see anointing. They still see blessing. And they think God is justifying what they have done. God is giving you room to get back. See, a man of the presence will never have a challenge in his life for long. Any man who is truly a man of the secret place. Any woman who is a woman of the secret place. Hallelujah. In our ministry, we made it a culture that at once every month, at least, everybody must draw and go back and be with God alone. See, some of these priceless things have been lost because we are looking for money, we are looking for title. Every week, I don't care what opportunities for ministration. I was nothing before he brought me. I can't get too busy for him. Many families are too busy. This is why Satan will be wrecking our families we are not seeing. Until the catastrophe gets beyond control. Are we getting blessed? This is the year when we must set aside time. I told God, if I ever get to any level where I cannot give you time, stop me from getting there by yourself. Let it not be Satan. Hallelujah.
He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Light is shining in the darkness. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Light is shining in the darkness. Jesus.
This is the secret behind the victory of certain people you have seen. You look at the life of a man and you just see doors opening. Doors. Job, the Bible said Job gave sacrifices for his children in case, no wonder he was the richest man. When you see a man advancing, there is something he is doing. Hallelujah. Weights that can impede us. I don't know about you, but as I read this thing, God is telling me, finish preaching and let's go and flog out our own. You see, let me tell you something. If you truly want change, swallow your pride and just say, Lord, help me. I told God in 2013, I must enter my prophetic destiny. I will let ministry and title stop me. You must get that angry with your destiny. Because one or two of these things, as we are speaking, God sends it as a rhema and it hits you. And God says, you know it. I've been speaking to you about it.
You can pretend as if it does not concern you, or you can say, Lord, I open up my heart that you will help me. Hallelujah. Weights. There are some weights that were not written here, but let me add one or two of them. Hallelujah. One of them is a lackadaisical attitude towards the things of God and the house of God. There are many people that want God to, God, give me this, give me money, give me power, give me anointing, give me wife, give me husband, give me anointing, give me this and that. But we care less about the things of God. You can never retract from the house of God and the things of God and expect to be blessed of God. Hallelujah. There are so many believers who just want to receive. Receive. God, give me. Give me. Give me. No passion for the things of God. Ah, I'm busy. That's always our language. I'm busy. Did you not know that one blessing in the presence of God can give you something that a lifetime cannot give you? Many of us have lost the value of the blessings and the benefit of the presence of God. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. Before I finally share the things that we need to put on. And we're going to take 10 minutes. Hallelujah. Everyone is going to pray. Please feel free to move around. Whatever. Even if you want to lie down on the earth, you are going to cry your heart alone with God this night. You're going to say, God, I can't pretend it. Yes, I'm a man of God. I can't pretend it. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Say, Lord, there are weights in my life. There are weights. Kata kapata. Rekete koso sepa. Rapa katava. No pretense in his presence. There are weights of God in my life. Mande kalikata. Rekete kosikata. Mampata katava likepaya. Lord, I want to move forward. I want to step into my prophetic destiny. Lord, I deal with these issues in my life. I deal with these issues in my life. I deal with these issues in my life. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, backbiting, malice. Don't say it does not matter. We are receiving the power to run, power to run, power to see the blessings of God in your life. Say, Lord, there's no pretending it. I break my pride tonight. Help me. I admit it, oh God. I've been a victim of filthy communications. I've been a victim of malice, unforgiveness. I have sown seeds of discord among people and families. But Lord, in 2013, the devil is a liar. Come on, pray. Everybody in this auditorium. Katabaka sekete gedebosa. Mamra katabalaka sekete. Reketekete. Reposoproskopa. Mabateke. Mambiketeke lekosupata. Rakatabalaba. Have mercy, O God, upon your people. If my people who are called by my name have humbled themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Pray. Say, Lord, help me. Help my family in the name of Jesus. Yes, I know you are born again, but pray. I know you are anointed, but pray. I know you heal the sick, but pray. I know you receive visions, but pray. Lord, we cry for your mercy and your grace. We denounce hidden works of unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we are still going to pray. Look up, please. Many of us have permitted Satan and the operations of demons. You are going to pray for yourself. and confront Satan and that devil. Some of us inherited some of these things. You are going to pray. Don't say it does not matter. Say, Lord, it will not follow me again. Cast out that devil. Lift your voice and pray. Say, Lord, for my family, for my life, I saw this happen to my father. I saw this happen to people around me. In the name of Jesus, no anger. That spirit of anger, I confront you. In the name of Jesus, that spirit of hatred, I confront you. In the name of Jesus, pray. That spirit of lust, I confront you. That spirit of drunkenness, that spirit of pride, that spirit of vainglory, confront the spirit. Confront it. In the name of Jesus, release yourself from that prison of darkness. Confront it by the power of the Holy Ghost. You will see breakthroughs in your life. You will see true prosperity. You will see increase.
My body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary.
Cry unto God.
Purify me like gold. So am I be what you say. My body is your sanctuary. Oh, my body is your sanctuary.
God is opening up gates in this place. I'm telling you. My body. There is a spirit of repentance and true holiness in this place tonight. Bible says that we examine ourselves and check whether we still be in the faith. Hallelujah. We're still going to pray. But now I want us to pray. Please pick up your Bible if you can. If you cannot, no problem. Still in Colossians. Thank you, Jesus. This must be the best year you have ever had, oh. This must be the best year. Not just in talk. You must walk into the blessings of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, are my hands too short that I cannot save? Hallelujah. Are my ears too dull that I cannot hear? He said, but your iniquity have created a gulf. See Colossians 3. Verse 12. So the Bible has told us to put off. We need to put on some things. Hallelujah. Are you ready to put on some things? Number one, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what? Tender mercies. What other translation do you have? Sorry? Compassion. Number two, kindness. Please look up. Kindness. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be good to all men. He said, for in this some of you have entertained angels
unaware. Did you know that for many families there, you people have received visitations of angels without knowing? Many of you who three strangers, I'm not saying open the door, this is security time for just anybody, but many of us have an attitude and a culture of disdain and treating anybody that is not your child. The Bible says kindness, for many have entertained angels. Hallelujah. Angels, they may not come in forms that you know. They may not come in forms that you appreciate. But I tell you, not every stranger that has come to your house is the stranger you thought. Many of you have had angelic visitations. Sometimes you hear that someone is knocking. Say, go and tell him I'm not around. And you miss your blessing for that. Hallelujah. Kindness. Humbleness of what? Mind. We need to be humble as the church of God. See, humility is not simplicity. There is a difference between humility and simplicity. Humility is an attitude that seeks to exalt God beyond yourself, to consider the good of others above and beyond yourself. Many people in the church are self-centered. What is it in for me? If I won't benefit anything, my hand is not in it. And it's a dangerous spirit upon the Nigerian state. If there is nothing in for me, can't you just help somebody without any reward? Hallelujah. Meekness, long suffering. He said, forbearing one another. Please say after me, tolerance. Many of us, only you will exercise a greater sense of tolerance, you will enter your blessing. Let me tell you something. Look up, please. There are certain people that you meet in your life. They look like the worst mistake that has happened in your life. But you just hold on. A day will come when in their stupidity, they will be the ones to open up a door for you. The Bible says there was a man called Naaman. He was the captain of the army of Syria. He was a great man, but he was leprous. Even the great can get to a point where they cannot help themselves. And the Bible did not say it was a great man. It said it was a what? Slave girl. She could not have the miracle, but she knew how to recommend him. See, learn to honor and respect the people around you. Many of you have kicked out your miracles because people came in forms. They are always talking stupidly. One day they will say something that will open a door for you. If a donkey could speak, a human being can speak and direct a destiny. Many of us are not tolerant. Every little thing, see, guys, these people are irritating me. Learn to be tolerant, because you are also irritating others and they are putting up with you. Every time you point one finger at someone, three are pointing back at you. Hallelujah. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. There is a dangerous spirit of unforgiveness, Pastor, that is upon the body of Christ. If we don't get it out, we're in trouble. Have you seen people for 20 years, enemies, and they say, till I see the ground, I won't forgive you? That kind of thing, that's your retardation for 20 years. Remember Jacob and Esau, even at a later part of their life, they came and they made peace. This is the year some families may need to make peace. I'm saying it all. This is the year some families may need to make peace. And sometimes it's the person who is offended that may need to go and make peace. It looks like weakness, but it's great spiritual strength. We offended the Father, but Jesus came to advocate for us. That's why he's the greater one today. Sometimes in the journey of life, the greater one will need to be the one who will stoop down. He must come and tell me sorry. The Bible says, be at peace with all men and pursue holiness, without which no man will see God. Are we getting blessed tonight? We'll soon round up. Forgiveness. We are going to specifically pray for the grace to forgive. Unforgiveness is a spirit. It's not just a state of mind. There are many people that have books that they write names of people, There are many people that have sections in their phone. Am I lying? When you call the person, it goes to what do we call it? Voicemail or whatever it is. Praise God. We are going to pray and say, Lord, the spirit of forgiveness. If Christ forgave you, tonight there are many of us that need to release some people and say, I let it go. I was hurt, but I let it go for the sake of Christ and for the sake of my destiny. Are we ready to pray? We are still going to pray some more, but for now, let's pray this over. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I put on humility and meekness. Please pray. Pray, CGC. Lord, I receive grace to forgive. I receive grace to forgive. He said, forgive our trespasses, even as we forgive them that trespass against us. Learn to forgive. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Go ahead and pray and say, Lord, I release anybody. I release anybody. In 2012, I release everyone. I release every family. I release every pastor, every prophet, every neighbor. I release everyone. In the name of Jesus, for the sake of my destiny. For the sake of my destiny. Lord, I let it go. In the name of Jesus. I'm tired of carrying weights that are stopping me from entering my destiny. And that spirit of unforgiveness, I clean my heart tonight, free of every hurt. You may cry while doing it, but do it. Make peace with your brother. And then you will experience the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read 13. Or I will read. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Listen, if any man have a quarrel against any, what did the Bible say we should do? It said, even as Christ forgave. There are families that brothers and sisters don't see eye to eye. There are families that people don't see eye to eye. This is the year to let go. This is the year to let go. Hallelujah. Please turn to Galatians 5. We are going to pray the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Do you know? Please. If your Christianity does not translate into a practical working of character that men can see and relate with, your Christianity is not genuine. Hallelujah. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not when you heal the sick, not when you pray in tongues, when you have love one for another. It's time to bring love back to the church. Genuine, unconditional love. Hallelujah. And at the end of this meeting, we are going to hold hands together and pray that the bond of love will fall upon CGC in a fresh way. How many of you believe that? Galatians 5. We are rounding up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 5. Are you there? We are going to read verse 12. And then we are going to pray. You hold your Bible and pray them one by one into your life. One day, please listen to me. I was walking in power, healing the sick, doing many great and mighty things, moving in the anointing. And the Lord says, son, you are anointed, but you don't have character. Hallelujah. And the Lord made me to read this scripture. I actually drew a graph of the fruit of the Spirit in my life versus their manifestation, and it broke my pride. I was ashamed of myself because it was a time where everybody was saying, who is this great man? When people begin to praise you, that's when you are most vulnerable. Run to the secret place. Hallelujah. While people were clapping for me, God was saying, come and sit down. There's a lot of work to be done. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, if you don't help me, I began to see it. Love, no love. Joy, no joy. Peace, no peace. Self-control, no self-control. And the Bible says, any man that cannot control his spirit, a man who has no rule over his spirit, is like a city without walls. Hallelujah. Praise God. Many people want meetings. Oh, power! Calm down. Today we are not doing power. God is examining us because some blessings must enter into our lives. After that, when the prophetic word comes, it comes upon a clean heart and it will bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, when the Holy Spirit lives in a man, this is the outworkings of the Holy Spirit in that man's life. So you will examine your life by yourself and see the degree to which the Holy Spirit has been permitted to work in your life. This is not just the issue of praying in tongues. Number one, love. Do you have love for people? Please look up. Do you have love for people? The Bible says, what good do you have if you greet those who are good towards you? The beauty of your Christianity is that you exhibit love to those who do not deserve. Because the Bible says, herein was the love of God demonstrated, that while we were yet sinners, in due season Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Husbands, what is your degree of love for your wife? This is the year we must ask some radical, honest questions. Don't say, I told her I love her when I got married to her. Love must be repeated, must be continuous, must be sustained. You see, sometimes we are careless with some things and we give Satan. Every time Satan comes, just like God knocks, Satan also knocks, and he looks for a loophole. Where there is love, perfect love, cast out what? Fear. For fear hath torment. The Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Love. Number two, joy. This is the year when you should rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When the Bible speaks two times, it's telling, it's emphasizing it that you should establish it. Have you seen certain people that even when there is a state, let me tell you what it is called in the realm of the spirit. It's called depression. Say after me, depression. Depression is a spirit. Are you listening to me? Have you seen people that even if you tell them good news, they are afraid of it because they think they will lose it soon? You have gone through too much loss and pain in your life that even when they bring a good news, you don't want to receive it again. It's called depression. It's a dangerous spirit. One time I was praying for a woman and suddenly God opened my eyes and I saw the name depression just above her head. From depression, it gives room to all kinds of suicidal thoughts. All kinds of things. Refuse to allow it in your life. Hallelujah. Joy. Learn to rejoice. Listen, there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a result of something physical that has happened. Hallelujah. If you get a new job, you are happy. But joy is a character of the spirit. It's an expression of faith that knows that even if nothing is well now, all shall be well. And on account of that, you rejoice. Hallelujah. That's why I love our mothers. You see them rejoicing. Sometimes there's no reason to rejoice, but you see them singing. He has made me glad. I am so glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. When a news just came that should make you angry, you see them singing. And they just sing every kind of song. Sun ansa Yesu, wanda ya fidu ken sunaye. Sun ansa Yesu, wanda ya fidu ken sunaye. When you rejoice, when there is no reason, let me tell you something, friends. Joy and praise are weapons in the spirit. Are you listening to me? Every time you begin to rejoice, it's a prophetic activity. How many of you have gone to pray and with your tears and depression, God begins to put a new song? Sing it. Don't keep quiet. You may cry, but sing it. It's a prophetic weapon. Psalms 149, it says, let the high praise of God be in their lips and a double-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance upon their kings and bind their nobles with the fetters of iron. Every time you begin to rejoice, let the people praise me. Let the people praise me, and then the earth shall its wonder increase. Joy. A joyless Christian will never see advancement. People annoy you. Your children get you angry. Someone says something nice, bad. You receive a phone call that is not godly. What happens? Learn to rejoice. Learn to rejoice. Many of you need to get some of these Hausa praises. You can just play them. You may not sing, or you just play any song. Hallelujah. Young people, let's help our parents. Go and buy some tapes and sew it into their life. Just play it in your car. While you are traveling for that 1 hour, you are saturated in an atmosphere of praise. It says to give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Every time you sense heaviness, the antidote is not prayer, it's praise. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Many of us are not praiseful. Our homes are dull. No music, no worship, nothing to give God thanks. And the spirit of depression rests over. You even see young people. Imagine a young man like me in a state of depression. What for? But it's happening everywhere, because Satan orchestrated activities. But I will sing and I will praise, even in my darkest heart, through the sorrow and the pain. I will sing from your heart. I will pray. I lift my hands to honor you. I lift my hands to honor, because your word is true. Because your word is true. I will sing. Hallelujah. John Moen wrote that song. Powerful song. Say, Lord, you seem so far away. Just listen to me. A million miles and what it seems. Number three, peace. The peace of God dwelling with a man. The shalom of God. We use it represented in a dove. There is a way, a state of restfulness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. For surely goodness and mercies follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Number four, long suffering. Say after me, patience. Impatience has cheated many people. Cheated many people. Impatience. Listen to me. Every time God wants to bless you, Satan will want to bring a quick alternative to you. Impatience has cheated a lot of people. He said, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes. Patience. You need to be patient. Hallelujah. You need to be patient. Impatience can kill. It can rob you of your glorious and prophetic destiny. Impatience has made people to react in ways that has robbed them and closed some doors. Impatience. God can look at you and say, it is in July your blessings will begin to come. And in March, Satan will take you before a high mountain and say, just bow to me. Why wait for God till July when I can give you now? Do you know that when Satan tempted Jesus, he knew Jesus was going to get the authority, but he said, bow to me and I will shorten the journey. Why prolong your life till Calvary when I can give you the keys right now? Satan will always want to reach an agreement. Any door that God did not open, may it not open for me. I'm praying for myself. Pray it for yourself. And say, Lord, I receive patience. Any door you did not open, please close it. I can wait. I can wait. In Nigeria, in such a hurry. Hurry for power. Hurry for money. Hurry for grace. All the days of my appointed time I will wait. All the days of my appointed time I will wait. Hallelujah. Let me read the other ones quickly because we are going to pray them. Gentleness. Hallelujah. There are many people who are not gentle. We are very disorganized. We are not gentle. That gentle spirit. That calm spirit. Hallelujah. That ability to bring your spirit under control and composure. We are not gentle. Gentleness. There are many people who have missed out on job opportunities because of lack of gentleness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Meekness. Humility. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Always allow God to honor you. Don't try to honor yourself. The Bible says when you enter a place, sit at the back. That was a prophetic language. In other words, seek to assume the basis of the position. Let God be the one to take you. If you come into a place and take yourself to the front, you will be disgraced because you will have to be forced, because the Bible says pride comes only after a fall. And you see, Satan throws people up. That means you must fall. But God lifts people because he is the support. The lifting of God takes a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Hallelujah. Meekness. Meekness will make you learn from anybody. Learn from babies. Learn from children. Learn from animals. A meek person will see God in everything. You are driving and the trees will speak a language because your heart is ready to receive. Arrogant people cannot learn from anybody. Meek people learn. Sometimes you can sit down and just watch your children play and you hear their conversation and you see God in it. Sometimes you can come out and sit in front of your house and the trees will speak a prophetic language that will answer your question. Because everything calls out his name in praise. If you have a meek heart, you will see God in everything. You will see a madman, his behavior will teach you a lesson about God. This was the wisdom of Solomon. He learned from everything, from flowers, from tears, from disappointment. Let everything in 2013 speak a message about God to you. And finally, self-control. Another word, discipline. Many people are indisciplined. That's why they cannot keep up to their goals. You set a goal today and say, by the grace of God, I will pray every day. And then it's raining and you know how the cold of the morning is. You just discipline. The ability to constrain yourself. The Bible says, who for the joy, we'll consider that one tomorrow. There is a joy that is set before you and you must endure the cross. Sometimes it will bring shame, but despise it. Who for the joy? He said, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. Discipline. Young people, let me encourage you. Pay your price in life now. Lamentations 3 verse 27. He said, it is good that a young man bear his yoke in his youth. It is good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth, because the glory of men is their strength. Now is the time you can wake up and pray.
Now is the time you can set rules for yourself.
Discipline. You cannot go everywhere. There are some people, if you were disciplined, you would not have entered certain troubles. You got up, left your house, you could not keep your legs in one place, and you went and joined trouble somewhere. Discipline. I will say it all. The Bible says, "Ye shall hear a voice from behind," Isaiah 30, from verse 17, "saying unto you, this is the way, walk in it." The ability to constrain yourself. Discipline. Young people, discipline. The ability to say no to anything that is not God. Don't say it does not matter. If it does not look like God, don't pray about it. Run away. The Bible says flee. It didn't say discourse. Flee every appearance of evil. Hallelujah. You are in a place and they are talking about bribery. Pack your load and get out of that place quickly. Don't say I'll be there. I'll just hear, but I won't participate. Listen, let me tell you something about indiscipline. Please look up. We're rounding up. Do you know the Bible says when Abraham and Lot were going to set apportion the land, the Bible did not say Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says Lot settled near Sodom. Near Sodom. Near Sodom. Where did they find Lot? Later on. So Satan will keep you near Sodom and you will be shifting. You won't know when you are shifting. Prayerlessness. Sleeping around. All kinds of indiscipline. Before you know it, when they came to rescue him, he was in the center of Sodom. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. He didn't say he's a wicked man, but by walking in their counsel, you are endorsing them. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law doth he meditate day and night. As a result, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. He said, whatsoever he doeth, prospers. Not so the wicked, the Bible says, they are like chaff that the wind will blow away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the sinners will perish. So we are going to pray. Hallelujah. If you can read this fruit of the Spirit, I want you to cry to your life and say, Lord, let my life be the first symbol that I'm a Christian, not my praying in tongues. Let my life and my character. Please go ahead and pray. Power to run. Pray. Lord, I pray for love in my life, joy in my life, peace in my life, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Pray the fruit of the Spirit. Say, Lord, every time they talk about me, they say, this man, this woman, this boy, this girl is a replica of the Christ life. Kindness, gentleness. I love all men. I treat all men with dignity and love and respect. Young people, go ahead and pray. Say, Lord, I cast the spirit of disobedience. Disobedience. The Bible talks about disobedience to parents. Go ahead and pray. Say, Lord, I receive grace. Grace to be obedient. Grace to be respectful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I prayed for this meeting, and the Lord began to tell me, Pastor, mark the young people in this ministry, because they are the ones who will bring a great revival. It will begin in a strong way this year. God is already moving among the youth. Do not neglect them. You may see somebody who was stubborn yesterday. God is going to begin to do a quick work in their lives. Don't use their yesterday's mistakes to judge what God is doing in their life. Because I tell you, God is changing them. They may have been sleeping around, they may have been stubborn, but know that God is at work. Hallelujah. They will raise the banner of God. They will raise the banner and the things of God. Hallelujah. They will bring great testimonies. And I'm going to pray that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, as you tell the church, mark the month of April. Mark the month of April. The month of April is going to be a month of financial increase and explosion. God told me. If God has not spoken to me, I have no business saying anything. This is the word that God said I should tell this church. You see, let me tell you something. When God told Sarah to bear a child at your age, the Bible says she laughed. She laughed. Don't be like Sarah and say, Lord, where will it come from? I'm not even walking. You may not see the wind. You may not see the rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water. If God has spoken it, your job is to believe and say, Lord, I count you faithful. You can stand in for people who are not here. Say, Lord, I believe you. April. 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 Hallelujah. April. The Lord told me that. Mark it. I'm saying it so that you can believe it. Align yourself to it. And the last thing that the Lord said he will bring upon this assembly is the spirit of favor. Many people don't know what the favor of God is. Let me tell you something. The favor of God is what will bring this change. God can change a man's story. Hold on. For 430 years, Pharaoh vowed that he would not let Israel go. But the Bible says in one night, and they did not just go like that. The Bible said they spoiled the Egyptians. They gave them everything they wanted. And Pharaoh said, when you go, pray for us. Hallelujah. Another example. The brothers of Joseph conspired against him. Because of that, they threw him in the well. He went to Potiphar's house, but the Bible says God was with him. On account of righteousness, he was delayed and he went to prison. But the Bible says in one night, let me tell you how God will bring favor. God will create an opportunity and close the heavens over every other person. They will look for you. See, this is what happened. On that day, the magicians could not see. The heavens were closed. The sorcerers tried their incantations. It was closed. And then the wine presser said, I remember a man. May God make men remember you. Hallelujah. I will give you four incidences of the favor of God. Number three, the Bible talks about a man in scripture called Mordecai. He was the gatekeeper. At a certain time, they wanted to kill the king and he revealed the plot, but nobody blessed him. Just like many of you, 2010, you have been standing to help other people's children, other families. It looks like God has been closed, but one night the king could not sleep. He said, bring me the chronicles. And he opened it up and he began to see works of men and said, there is a man called Mordecai who has rewarded him for this that he did. If God be God, this is the year God will show that your service to him is not in vain. Hallelujah. And the very interesting thing is that it was Haman who prepared the road for the glory of Mordecai. Isn't it interesting how sometimes God will use your enemies and prepare a road they think is for them? The king, see, listen, the king did not tell Haman it was for Mordecai. The king said, if a man does this, how do we honor him? Haman thought it was himself, so his selfishness made him to give the best option. He said, put him on a chariot, let him march around the city and let men call him. He said, this is what they will do for Mordecai. And Haman, you are in charge of this. When God will disgrace your enemies and make them to be the ones to hold the ladder, while you are climbing, God will tell them, hold the ladder. The Bible talks about a woman in the countryside called Hadassah, Esther. She was a woman in the village. And many young ladies were called because the king was going to look for a wife. There are many of us here, you need to stand before some kings that will bless you. You may not be qualified now, but an anointing will come upon you. That anointing that came upon Esther, the Bible says for 1 year, in 2012, you were just exposing yourself to the anointing. Little did you know you were being prepared to go and stand before the king. And the Bible says Esther passed once. Because Haggai, the one who was in charge of the beauty things of the king, advised Esther. And he gave her the kind of oil. Every time the king sends for you, you are ready to be blessed. But let me tell you something. Look up, please. You know why we are praying now? Because the Bible says when Joseph was called, what happened? The Bible said he shaved his beard. In other words, there is a manner you must be fit to appear before the king. This is why God is pruning us. If Joseph had gone like a wild man, the king would say, why bring this idiot? Because sometimes when you are in prison, you don't have room to address some areas, and excesses just grow out. And before he will be taken to the king, they say, shave him. This is what God is doing, pruning some things, because you need to appear before the king, and you must be in the best state. This is the same thing that happened to Esther. And when the king saw her, he said, that's it. And he took her and gave her the royal robe and set her above. Favor. The Lord is bringing favor upon CGC. The Lord is bringing favor upon CGC. One day of favor will give you a lifetime of labor. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Many believers have not really experienced the faith. See, the favor of God, you will be crying, but it's not for pain. Because you will say, Lord, if they had told me you would do this, I would have said it's a lie. May God give somebody that kind of testimony. Hallelujah. That you are sitting down and somebody is running up and down to make sure he blesses you. And they are asking the person why. He said, God instructed me to bless this woman. And the person comes to meet you and say, I know you don't know me, but here is a khaki. Don't ask me questions. God said, see, don't doubt it. God can do it. It's not your time for promotion. God will move something in your workplace and force every arrow to point at you, although you are not qualified. But when God favors a man, when God favors a man, if it's not for the favor of God, some of us will have nowhere to stand in destiny. Let me tell you the truth, because where we are today is not a product of what we have done. There is a way God can pick a man. You just be talking about the man, be watching him rising, be gossiping, God will be lifting him. You keep gossiping and talking, you will keep just seeing him rising. There's nothing as painful as talking about a man and the man won't stop moving forward. He's just rising. At a point you will look stupid. The man you are gossiping with, are you not tired? We are going to pray these three prophecies. Pray for yourself and for your family. Please don't pray for yourself alone. Yourself and your family. Say, Lord, I believe you are bringing favor. I believe you are causing a revival among the youth. I believe. Say, Lord, do not pass me by. Favor in my workplace. There are some of you, only the favor of God can give your children admission. There are some of you, only the favor of God can graduate them. There are some of you, only the favor of God can give you a job. Your building project can only be completed by the favor of God. Favor according to your word. Favor in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I prophesy upon your life that in 2013, let the spirit of Elijah come upon you, that you will run and overtake the chariot. I prophesy speed, acceleration in the name of the Lord Jesus. Speed and acceleration
in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, for thou hast caused men to ride upon our heads. Psalm 66 verse 12. It said, we went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. Many of you have gone through seasons of affliction and pain. May my God open a door that will end the pain of yesterday. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and the sound of weeping will no more be heard in that city. I pray that the Lord will wipe your tears with his own hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and he went in the midst.